You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, good morning, my friends. What a welcome. Let me welcome you once again, guys. If you're joining us online or you're here in the room, I'm so glad you can join us today as we come around the word. You know, I'm truly believing that this word is a word that will encourage you, that it will spur you on, that it will challenge you to action as God speaks his truth, as he reveals his truth to us. So if you're taking notes this morning, the title of my message is Peace in the Storm. Several years back, I had the opportunity to go to the Great Barrier Reef. Has anyone else been to the Great Barrier Reef before? Now, it's pretty stunning if you've been there. If you haven't, note to self, add it to your list of things to do. And, you know, I understand why it's like one of the natural wonders of the world, because even going on the boat out there is a bit of an adventure in itself. You know, you've got the sun shining, you hear the ocean hitting the boat, the sea mist blowing, and then you get to the Great Barrier Reef and you go into the water and there's this beautiful, cool water, a little bit warmer than this year in Victoria. So lovely feeling in that water, nice warm water, but with a cool feeling to it. You get this stunning beauty of the coral in the water, the different colors of the coral. There's so much life and the uniqueness and diversity of all the living beings. I don't know about you, but every time I'm in nature like that, I'm just in awe of our God, of his amazing creative power, of the cleverness of our God in creating these beautiful creatures, these beautiful living things. Does anyone else like the ocean? Is anyone else a bit like me, a bit of an ocean fan? Yeah, we all live by the coast. I figured we'd like the ocean somewhat. But as much as I love the ocean, I'm also very aware that the ocean can be a scary place at times. I've personally experienced this myself on another occasion when I went snorkeling just down here in Queenscliff. It was, again, a lovely time, started off with wonderful weather. But while we were in the water, all of a sudden, the clouds started rolling through and the waves started to pick up and it started to get a bit choppy. And we could see the instructor saying, you know, come back to the boat, start to get back on the boat. And so here we are trying to get back the boat, but I felt this current pulling me out away from the boat. And one minute I was there and the next minute I was over there, and slowly the current was pulling me further away from the boat. And I like to say, I was like, yeah, I was good. I swam all the way back the boat, but I actually froze in that moment. It was like I weighed 1,000 kilograms and my muscles wouldn't work properly. I couldn't actually stroke back to the boat, and I just sort of sat there being like, oh, I'm getting further and further away from this boat. But obviously I'm okay because I'm here today, guys, right? Spoiler alert. And in that moment, the instructor actually had to come out into the water and help me get back to the boat. And when I got back in the boat, I was a little bit shaken up. By this time, it started to rain. The storm had hit. The boat ride back wasn't as comfortable as the boat ride out. The water was a bit choppy. I tend to get a bit car sick, so I started to feel a bit seasick. My friends who were with me were all in our wetsuits. We were a little bit cold. We were a little bit miserable, and we were a little bit shaken up. Isn't that what a storm can feel like sometimes? We can have an encounter in the storm that we feel physically cold, miserable, and seasick. Have you ever been in a storm? What did it feel like for you? Perhaps like us, you felt a little bit fearful, a little bit shaken up. Perhaps you felt uncertain. Perhaps you actually felt physically sick. See, I speak of a literal storm here that I was in, but sometimes we can face similar storms in our everyday life. Storms of sickness, storms of grief, storms of loss, storms of challenging life circumstances, storms of relationship breakups, storms of work situations, work challenges. Our feelings and experiences in these storms can be similar to what we feel in the actual storm. That feeling of numbness that comes when you're cold, feeling of anxiety, feeling sick, feeling like you can't go on. See, a common storm we've all experienced the last 18 months is COVID. You remember seeing this image that'll come up on the screen as an analogy of COVID, that we are all in the same storm, but perhaps in different boats. So our experiences, our challenges, our circumstances, the way we navigate the storm is unique and valid. Have you ever felt like that? Perhaps you feel like this now, that you're being rocked in the boat. Maybe you're in a big yacht, maybe you're in a little boat. But but your experience is unique. Your experience is valid. Your experience in the storm is valid. The storms of life can be very intense and tough, but it's not all doom and gloom, my friends. Let me give you some encouragement this morning. Well, let's look at what our God says, that our God is the Lord of the storm. In Psalm 89, verse 9, it says, "You roll the oceans," speaking of God. "You subdue their storm-tossed waves." I love how it reads in the Passion Translation. "You roll over oceans and the swelling seas. When their stormy waves rise, you speak and they lie still." His spoken word calms the storm. See, my friends, you and I can face the storms of life and we can find peace in the storm because today our God is Lord of the storm. In Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3, it says, "God is our protection and source of strength. He is always ready," not sometimes, not maybe, "always ready to help us in times of trouble. So we are not afraid when the earth quakes and the mountains fall into the sea. We are not afraid when the seas become rough and dark and the mountains tremble." What amazing promises that God is our protection. He is our strength. He is ready to help. But how do I access this help? And what does this look like for me in my life? What does this look like for you in your life? So let's look at possibly one of the most well-known stories about a storm in the Bible to learn about God's strength and help. So if you've got your Bibles with you, we're reading from Mark chapter 4, verses 35, where Jesus calms the storm. Mark 4:35. "As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's cross to the other side of the lake.' So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. So this lake they were crossing was actually the Sea of Galilee. It's called a sea, but it's actually a lake. And because it's in a valley, when storms come or when winds come through, it brings the water in and causes the water to whip around and swirl, almost like in that circular motion. This generates foam and very high waves, from the research I've done, up to 20 feet high. And because the lake is small, once the waves hit the shore, they collide back and forth, causing that sort of ripple effect of more and more waves hitting against the boat, again and again, wrecking more and more havoc. So it's naturally understandable that we see when the disciples were terrified and unsure of the situation, getting smashed again and again, repeatedly by these waves that could be up to 20 feet high, that these high waves were breaking into the boat, causing it to fill with water. Maybe sometimes we feel like this, that, you know, one thing after the other keeps smashing into us. The storm starts, but then one thing after the other keeps crashing into us. But let's keep reading, because I love Jesus' response in this. In verse 38, "Jesus was sleeping at the back of his boat, at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up saying, 'Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?'" What an amazing picture of our Jesus, that despite the storm, Jesus was at rest. He was at peace. He was sleeping. See, it's important to remember here that although Jesus was fully God, he was also fully man. So what the disciples would have been experiencing, the rocking of the boat, that feeling when you're in a storm, Jesus too would have experienced. Yet he was asleep. It's so interesting to contrast the difference in the response between Jesus and the disciples. That disciples were terrified, "We're going to drown." Bearing in mind that some of the disciples were actually sailors or fishermen. So they would have had a lot more experience with sailing, storms, being out in the ocean than Jesus. Jesus was a carpenter by trade. You know, I imagine the disciples would have done whatever they could in the natural to get the boat ready for the storm when they saw it coming. You know, all the terms I see in movies where they talk about boats, batten down the hatches, secure the cargo, lower the sails. All the things the disciples tried to do, taking action to try and manage the storm in the natural. However, it still came to the point that they were fearful that they were going to perish. On the other hand, we see Jesus had peace in the storm. So how does this relate to you and I? Perhaps you're facing a storm where you've done everything you can, where you've battened down the hatches, where you've done what you're meant to do, and yet the storm is still raging. Perhaps you've planned and orchestrated getting ready for the storm, but it's much bigger than what you can handle. So the question I ask is, how will you and I respond to the storm? Jesus had peace in the storm. Could this be the same for us? Could you and I experience this same peace in the storm? Find this rest in the storm? I believe we can. We may feel like the disciples, overwhelmed, fearful, at our wits' ends, but we can choose to be like Jesus, finding peace in the storm, resting and trusting that God has got you in the situation. My friends, can I encourage you this morning? God has got you in your situation. But don't take my word for it. Let's go to the word of God to confirm that. Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, "For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not." What an amazing promise. I will not, he says, let you go or let you down. That we can rest in him. As it says in Isaiah 26 verse 3, "You will keep in perfect and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is committed and focused on you in both inclination and character, because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation." That as we incline ourselves to him, he gives us that perfect and constant peace. What an amazing promise. You know, this year our declaration is to grow and go. Could it be that you and I can grow in facing the storms in our life? Could it be that as we grow in that, we can go into what is called, God has called us to do, into our community, into our city, because we have learnt how to find peace in the storm? So let's look at some ways we can practically learn and apply how Jesus faced the storm. Point number one, if you're taking notes, purposeful words. Reading from Mark 4:39. "When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the winds and said to the waves, 'Silence, be still.' Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm." Silence, be still, or peace, be still in other versions. Two deliberate, very purposeful phrases. Silence in the Greek is siopao, which means an involuntary stillness or an inability to speak. The Greek word for be still, phimao, to stop the mouth or to make silent. My friends, the storm was stilled and made silent at the words of Jesus. You know, sometimes a storm can be all we can hear. The last couple of days with the heavy rain we've had, you know, if you're outdoors and you're trying to have a conversation, the wind is blowing, the storm is loud, the rain is falling heavily, and the storm seems like all you can hear. But Jesus, with his words, the storm was made silent and made still. My friend, what storm might you need to be stilled in you? And what might that practically look like? Well, can I encourage you? It involves being very deliberate and very purposeful with our words. See, my friends, our words are so important that in our storm we can declare, "God, you are Lord of the storm." Like that scripture in Hebrews, "Lord, you've got me. You've got this situation." You know, in that moment, our soul might not feel it. Our mind and will and emotions are still tossed and turned and rocked about in the storm. But as we choose those purposeful words to align our words with what the truth is, then slowly our soul starts to come into alignment with our spirit. That we continue to build that confidence that, yes, this is the truth, this is what you say, till eventually all you can see is the truth of God's word. Yes, the storm is still raging all around you, but you know that you know that you know what the truth is. The power of purposeful words, my friends. Pastor Nate prophetically declared over us that this is a season where we need to be purposeful in the words we speak, that we choose wisely the words that we speak. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, every word of God proves true. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to all who come to him for protection. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, the tongue can speak words that bring life or death. Those who love talk must be ready to accept what it brings. So my friends, I ask myself too, what words might you and I need to speak out purposefully? Or perhaps, what words might we need to silence or stop speaking out, just like Jesus silenced the storm? See, this is something I've been challenged in and been learning about. I've had to be super purposeful in what I speak out in terms of the build of my house. It's been a long journey. It's still an ongoing journey. And I think oftentimes in the natural thoughts that can come into my mind is like, oh, wow, interest rates have been so low for such a long time. They're bound to go up. I'm only working part-time in pharmacy. Like, will I be able to pay a mortgage? What if I can't get a loan? What if, you know, there's all these thoughts that can come into our mind in that moment. There's so many things I can be declaring based on what I see in the natural. But in this season, I've chosen to boldly declare what God has said to me, that he has started this work and that he will bring it to completion. You know, like I said, in that moment where sometimes our soul doesn't quite feel it, my mind, will, and emotions have thoughts that are contrary to that truth. But I've had to set my mind and set my words to be purposeful. I still haven't seen it come to complete fruition, like the house still isn't built. But in my mind, each and every day, as I declare his truth, as I declare his word, as I declare what he has promised over my life, slowly my soul comes into alignment with my spirit. That now all I can see is that I'm assured that he will bring it to pass. I'm not 100% sure of all the details, but that's okay. I don't need to know all the details now because I trust the one who holds the future. I trust that he has got me, and I trust that if he has said it, he will bring it to pass. And so my words are going to line up with what he has said, my friends. So what purposeful words might you have to declare over your life, over your situation, over your storm? So firstly, purposeful words in finding peace in the storm. Secondly, patiently waiting for his word and his direction. We see in this scripture that suddenly the wind stopped. This calming of the storm was a suddenly. How amazing is it that happens when God does a sudden miracle? But let's be honest, this is not always how we see it come to pass. Sometimes our storm can be a prolonged time of hardship, of pain, of heartache. We've heard some amazing messages from Pastor Nay and Pastor Rachel over the last couple of weeks over understanding God's timing and what to do in the waiting. In Habakkuk 2:3, it says, this vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. In Psalm 27, verse 14, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. This same verse in the Passion Translation, here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined with one as the Lord. Be brave and courageous and never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting, for he will never disappoint you. And you know, I truly believe that's a word for some people here this morning, that perhaps you've been disappointed. Perhaps you've been let down. Perhaps you think, will God really do this? Can I really wait on him? Or do I need to work this out myself? My friend, my encouragement for you this morning is wait on him. He will not disappoint you. He will not let you down. See, this waiting for his direction is something I've been learning through too. There have been some challenging circumstances I've been navigating at work. And you know, I'm a bit of a planner by nature, so I'm like, all right, well, how can I organize this? What can I change? What can I do to try and make this work? But this time around, I've been learning to wait on God and what he has to say about the situation. To not move in the situation until I get his direction. I'm learning that if he wants to move me from the situation, he will tell me. But at the same time, if not, I'm saying to him, Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me. Help me navigate how to handle the situation, because in my own strength, I'll just fall in a flop trying to navigate the situation. You know, never have the words that Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done," meant so much to me. That, hey, I have these thoughts, I have my will, I have things that I want to see happen, but I'm going to trust you in this situation. That your will, your way is the best way. You know, it's not an overnight journey that I got it. It's not like I woke up one morning, I'm like, yep, your will be done, God. You've got this, I've got this all sorted. But you know, like the song we sing, Hindsight, that the God I know is known for faithfulness. He has shown himself faithful time and time again in the small things in my everyday life. But that has built a trust that I can go, I know you've got this. That really it's not my will be done here. That I can wait for your direction. And I can sit and rest in your truth until you tell me to move. And I will not be shaken. I will not be stirred. I will not be moved from where you've called me to stand because I know you've got this and you've got me. So patiently waiting for his word and direction. Thirdly, in finding peace in the storm, rebuking what doesn't align with the truth. In verse 39, it says, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Jesus rebuked the storm. He rebuked what was happening in the natural. The Greek word here for rebuked, epitimao, is a strong word. It's not just, you know, a gentle sort of word. It's a strong word to mean sharply admonish or straightly charge. See, Jesus lived in the reality. Like the reality was the storm was there. But he chose to rebuke what was not in line with God's truth. The same applies to you and I today. Let's be honest, we live in reality. We face the reality of the storm. But we can choose to rebuke and push away what does not align with the truth of God's word. Hear my heart here, friends, that this rebuking is not like to trick ourselves or pretend that the situation doesn't exist, but it's a positioning ourselves, it's a turning ourselves away from what is not truth and positioning ourselves with God's truth. You know, sometimes you may have to sit with that situation. You may have to sit with the storm, with the challenge, but you can bring it to God, allowing him to guide you to truth, allowing him to bring you back to what actually is his truth in your situation. As we do this, as we rebuke what doesn't align with his truth, it enforces the victory that Jesus has already won. It brings his power into the situation, that the situation may not have changed at all, but all of a sudden, all you see is the truth. All you see is what he's saying in your situation. And that's what I've had to do with this house build as well. That I rebuke those thoughts about, will I be able to get a house loan? And I turn and position myself to align with the word that God has given me, that he will see the work brought to completion. So my friends, what words might you have to rebuke and realign with truth? What thoughts might you have to sit with, allowing Holy Spirit to realign them, readjust them, so you're positioned to see his truth and speak out his truth? So our purposeful words, patiently waiting for God's direction and his word, rebuking what doesn't align with truth, and finally, recognizing and declaring the power we have in Jesus. Back to verse 39 again. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. See, there's no doubt this storm was a powerful storm. It was no ordinary storm. But with one phrase, "Silence, be still," Jesus brought calm to the storm. Sometimes the storms we face can feel overwhelmingly large. Can I encourage you though, the truth remains that Jesus is more powerful than any storm you may face. And as followers of Jesus, we can declare and expect to see a miraculous demonstration of God's power in your storm. Ephesians 1 verses 19 to 20. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's hands in the heavenly realms. See, Paul wanted you and I to understand this incredible power that we have access to because we believe in Jesus. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power can see God move mightily in your storms, in my storms. This is echoed in Jesus' word in John 14, verses 12 to 14. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me, that's you and I, will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. So my friends, be encouraged that you and I, we can ask and declare God's power in Jesus' name, like we sang about this morning. In Jesus' name, that we can declare in our storms, in our challenge, and in our circumstances. So what are you going to do with the access that you have? Are we going to declare, are we going to speak out His power in our storms? The truth is, as followers of Jesus, I have to tell you, we don't have a storm-free pastor life. We don't get to give our past that says, oh, look, I don't have to navigate storms. We still have to navigate storms just like everyone else does. But the great news is that our God is the Lord of the storm. And like the disciples, we will get to the other side of the storm. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of Gerasenes. My friend, you and I will get to the other side of the storm. It may not seem like it in this time. It may seem like it's beyond what you can bear. But God has got you, my friend. He will calm your storm. He will not let you go. He will not move. He will not release His hold on you. Psalm 107, verse 29. God stilled the storm, stilled the storm. He calmed the waves and He hushed the hurricane winds to only a whisper. Time and time again, we see God coming through for people in the storm. The Israelites faced the Egyptians behind them and the Red Sea in front of them, but they got to the other side. Noah and his family faced the flood, but they got to the other side. My friends, our God is so faithful and He is so trustworthy. We can find peace in the storm. He promises His peace. John 14:27, Jesus' words, "Peace I leave with you. My perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. His peace He leaves with you. Do not be troubled. Do not be afraid. Hold fast to Him as He holds on to you." So as I wrap up, let me share with you a true story of one who found peace in the storm. Horatio Spafford was a lawyer, a businessman, and a church elder. 2 years after losing his 4-year-old son to pneumonia, Spafford sent his wife and 4 remaining daughters to England on vacation. He planned to meet them there at a later time because he had business to finish up in America. His family boarded the steamship Villa du Havre. Whilst on their ship, it hit another vessel in the Atlantic, causing 226 people to lose their lives. Included in the death toll was Horatio's 4 daughters. Horatio's wife survived the incident, and he received a tragic telegram that said, "Saved alone." Horatio boarded another vessel to meet his wife. During the voyage, the captain of the ship, who knew what had happened to Horatio, pointed out the approximate location where the Villa de Havre ship had sunk. That is where his daughters had passed. Despite his great sorrow, Horatio was inspired to write a poem or verse. The words he wrote were then composed into a song, which is today the well-known hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." And I'll read out the first verse of this song because I think there's so much power in it. "When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." despite the storms he faced, Horatio could say it was well with him. See, I believe that he learned to trust God as Lord of all. He could declare, it is well with my soul, with his mind, his will and emotions, despite the turmoil that was happening around him, because his soul had aligned with God's truth and God's word. Horatio found peace in the storm. So friends, my prayer for you, my prayer for me, is that we will actively put things in our lives to find peace in the storm. So what is it that you perhaps might need to do to find peace in the storm? Is it speaking purposeful words? Is it waiting patiently and resting in Him? Is it rebuking what is not true? Is it recognizing and declaring His power? As we take this moment to reflect, can I encourage you? Allow Holy Spirit to speak to you, to guide you into truth. He is the Lord of the storm. He has got you. He will not relax His hold on you. So let's take this moment to reflect.